Greetings in Jesus' name. What a blessed morning this has been. Just to, I was reminded when the showers of the rain came down and they just kind of took some of the soot off of my car and off of the things on some of the plants along the road were dirty, and the rain came and just kind of like just washed it off. And so many spiritual parallels to that, you know, that are just beautiful. There's certain things that resist water, rain. You know, let's just not be resistant to His Spirit and His things that cleanse us. I have this idea that it's a beautiful thing to say the Lord's Prayer. I wondered if we could just stand and say that together, and make mention of Daniel at the end. Maybe. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You can be seated. It'd be a little bit of a story reading here in Judges chapter. Well, it'd be about Samuel. I guess it starts in chapter 13 and it reaches all the way through 17. So a lot of reading. I think I'll just kind of pitch in and start in chapter 15. We know how he was born to a man named Manoah. The birth of Samson was proclaimed by angels, and it was a special thing. In that way, we know he was sent as a deliverer. And a little bit of background there: his parents were, I think they were, as far as I can tell, they were godly people. They were trying to listen to this angel, and they understood it as a message from the Lord. And they burnt sacrifices and burnt offerings in this way. Just really get a little verse here to kind of finish that off. As 13 verse 21 says, "And the angel did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Manoah finally realized it was the angel of the Lord and said to his wife, 'We will certainly die, for we have seen God.'" So I think they were in tune with the things that had been said about God up until that point. They understood God as a mighty, thing. But his wife said, "If the Lord was going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted our burnt offerings and grain offerings. He wouldn't have appeared to us and told us this wonderful thing and done these miracles." When her son was born, she named him Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew up. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was living in Mahananathan, which is located between the towns of Zorah and Eshtilah. He desired a woman. I'm not going to read that. There's a lesson in there. Lots of lessons. And his first, like the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit, I'd say the spirits, started working in him. And him looking at the Philistines for a woman was a bad thing. And we can see the end of it. Okay. The riddle might be good, just to get the riddle a little bit. Oh, there was the marriage. There was the 30 Philistines were arranged to be his companions. Okay, chapter 14, verse 10. Maybe I'll start reading there. "And his father was making final arrangements for the marriage. Samson threw a party in Timnah, as was the custom for elite young men. When the bride's parents saw him, they selected 30 young men from the town of his companions." This was not Samson's parents. This was the Philistine woman's parents selecting Philistine young men to be Samson's companions. So you can kind of see the direction of companionship taking Samson in a wrong direction. All agreed. All right, they agreed. Let's hear your riddle. Oh, sorry, I'm fast-forwarding a little bit. Samson said to them, let me tell you a riddle. If you solve my riddle during these 7 days of celebration, I will give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. But if you can't solve it, then you must give me 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. All right, they agreed. Let's hear your riddle. So he said, out of the one who eats came something to eat. Out of the strong comes something sweet. 3 days later, they were still trying to figure out. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to explain the riddle to us, or we will burn down your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to make us poor? So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, you don't love me, you hate me. You have given my people a riddle, but they haven't told me the answer. Sorry, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother, he replied. That's Samson speaking. Why should I tell you? So she cried whenever she was with him and kept it up for the rest of the celebration. So day 5, 6, and 7, his wife kept enticing him, nagging him with tears. At last, on the seventh day, he told her the answer because she was tormented from tormenting him with nagging. Then she explained the riddle to the young men. So before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with their answer. And it seems like their answer is yet another question, so I don't know what that all means. But what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson replied, if you wouldn't have plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved the riddle. This goes to show what happens, like if you meddle and riddle and fiddle with the ungodly Philistines, you're just gonna get into trouble. Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he went down to the town of Ashkelon, killed 30 men, took their belongings, and gave their clothing to the men that had solved his riddle. But Samson was furious about what had happened, and he went back home to live with his father and mother. So his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been Samson's best man at his wedding. Later on, during the harvest, wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat as a present to his wife. He said, I'm going into my wife's room to sleep with her, but her father wouldn't let him in. I truly thought you must hate her. Her father explained, so I gave her to marriage to your best man. But look, her younger sister is even more beautiful than she is. Marry her instead. Samson said, this time I can't be blamed for everything I am going to do to you Philistines. Then he went out and caught 300 foxes. I couldn't really tell whether he remarried there or what he did, but he tied their tails together in pairs and he fastened a torch to each of the pairs of tails. Then he lit the torches and the foxes ran through the grain field of the Philistines. He burned all their grain to the ground, including the sheaves and the uncut grain. He also destroyed their vineyards and olive groves. Who is this? The Philistines demanded. Samson was the reply, because his father-in-law from Timnah gave Samson's wife to be married to his best man. So the Philistines went and got the woman and her father and burnt them to death. It's the end of them. Because you did this, Samson vowed, I won't rest until I take my vengeance on you. So he attacked the Philistine with great fury and killed many of them. Then he went to live in a cave in the rock of Etam. The Philistines retaliated by setting up camp in Judah and spreading out near the town of Lehi. The men of Judah asked the Philistines, why are you attacking us? The Philistines replied, we've come to capture Samson. We've come to pay him back for what he did to us. So 3,000 men of Judah went down to get Samson at the cave in the rock of Etam. They said to Samson, "Don't you realize the Philistines rule over us? What are you doing to us?" But Samson replied, "I only did to them what they did to me." But the men of Judah told him, "We have come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines." "All right," Samson said, "but promise that you won't kill me yourselves. We will only tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines," they replied. "We won't kill you." So they tied him up with the two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. As Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistines came shouting in triumph. But the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson, and he snapped the ropes in his arms as if they were burnt strands of flax, and they fell from his wrists. Then he found the jawbone of a recently killed donkey. He picked it up and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, I've piled them in heaps. With the jawbone of a donkey, I've killed 1,000 men." When he finished his boasting, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was named Jawbone Hill. Ramath Lehi is the Hebrew, or sorry, the whatever language that would be, name for it, probably Hebrew. Samson was now very thirsty, and he cried out to the Lord, "You have accomplished this great victory with the strength of your servant. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of these pagans?" So God caused water to gush out of a hollow in the ground at Lehi, and Samson was revived as he drank. Then he named this place the spring of the one who cried out. And it is still in Lehi to this day. Samson judged Israel for 20 years during the period when the Philistines dominated the land. Chapter 16. One day Samson went to the Philistines' town in Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. Word soon spread that Samson was there. So the men of Gaza gathered together and waited all night at the town gates. They kept quiet during the night, saying to them, "When the light of morning comes, we will kill him." But Samson stayed in bed only until midnight. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the town gates, including the two posts, and lifted them up, bare them all, and he put them on his shoulder and carried them all the way to the top of the hill across from Hebron. Some time later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah. He lived in the valley of Sorek. The rulers of the Philistines went in to her and said, "Entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong and how he can overpower and tie up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me what makes you so strong and what it would take to tie you up securely." Samson replied, "If I were tied up with 7 new bowstrings that have not yet been dried, I would become as weak as anyone else." So the Philistine rulers brought Delilah 7 new bowstrings, and she tied Samson up with them. She had hidden some men in one of the inner rooms of her house, and she cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." But Samson snapped the bowstrings as a piece of string snaps when it is burned in a fire. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Afterward, Delilah said to him, "You've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now please tell me how you can be tied up securely." Samson replied, If I were tied up with brand new ropes that have never been used, I would become as weak as anyone else." So Delilah took new ropes, tied him up with them. The men were hiding in the inner room as before, and again Delilah cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." But again Samson snapped the ropes from his arm as if they were thread. Then Delilah said, "You've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now tell me how you can be tied up securely." Samson replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my hair into the fabric on your loam and tied it up with the loam shuttle, I would become as weak as anyone else. So while she slept, Delilah wove the 7 braids of his hair into the fabric. Then she tightened it with the loom shuttle. Again she cried, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. But Samson woke up, pulled back the loom shuttle, and yanked his hair away from the loom and the fabric. Then Delilah pouted, How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? You've made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. She tormented him with nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it. Finally, Samson shared his secret with her. My hair has been cut short, he confessed, for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else. Delilah realized he had finally told her the truth, so she sent for the Philistine rulers. Come back one more time, she said, for he has finally told me his secret. So the Philistine rulers returned with the money in their hands. Remember, they had promised Delilah 1,100 pieces of silver. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap. Then she called in the men to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way, she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. I was going to make a few comments there. Just the grievous thing of a supposed deliverer, you might say, Samson with, I'd say, born a deliverer. He ended up being a deliverer in the flesh, but through doing that, he became a part of the list in the Hebrew chapter there, chapter 11, in faith, you know, when it counted as that. But any of those guys, you know, patriarchs, judges, you could just about take them and wonder why they're even in there. But what I'm left with is just how the deliverer that we have today is without spot, without blemish. He is the true deliverer. He was born similarly, like in some ways like Samson, but he was without sin, and in that way he delivered us, that we can be without sin. The other lesson in here is a little bit how my devotions, my thoughts started on this. It's just going to be a little lesson on how to properly communicate. It's not really related to this actual story, but this morning my children were looking into this story. I'm not sure how far they were into it. They were both given time to just read a little bit, and one of them said that I think they cut off his hair, and the other one said no, I think they cut off his hair and his beard. And then I stopped them. I said, okay, now the two of you take this time to, in a reasonable way, you work out the truth of a matter. Like you show to me how in a reasonable, godly way, something can be reasoned out truthfully without offense taken or given. And it was just a nice little lesson how one of them, I won't use their names specifically, one of them ended up being right, the other one ended up being wrong. Like they did not, according to what I can tell, they cut off the 7 locks. And I'm putting some value on the Bible story books, they didn't cut off his beard. And so one was right, another one was wrong. And so it's kind of, okay, that's the one that was right needs to understand that things that keep going around, they come around, you're going to have your turn to be wrong. The one that was wrong, things that go around, they come around, you're going to have your turn to be wrong. And you don't have to be however you want to say that, but just a little lesson that I thought it fit in here. Not to get off track, but Samson got lulled to sleep with his head on the lap of the foreign woman. Okay. The Philistines capture him, gouge out his eyes. Let's keep going here. 23. The Philistine rulers held a great feast, offering sacrifices and praises, praising their god Dagon. They said, "Our God has given us victory over our enemy Samson." When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy to us. The one who killed so many of us is now our power." He was giving them power. Half drunk by now, the people demanded, "Bring out Samson so he can amuse us." So he was brought out from the prison to amuse them, and they had him stand before the pillar supporting the roof. Samson said to the young servant who was leading him by the hand, "Place my hand against the pillar that hold up the temple. I want to rest against them." Now the temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine rulers were there, and there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who were watching as Samson amused them. I just think of a poorly constructed, or maybe a well-constructed theater or a stadium. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes." Then Samson pulled his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple. Pushing against them with both hands, he prayed, "Let me die with the Philistines." And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and the people. So he killed more people when he died than he did during his entire lifetime. Later, his brothers and other relatives went down to get his body. They took him back home and buried him between Zorah and Eshtilo, where his father Manoah was buried. Samson had judged Israel for 20 years. It's a good little lesson that we can take. Some notes I have. Samson lived with the Philistines. Samson died with the Philistines. Samson meddled with the Philistines in riddles, foolish things, and they got him down. He gave him their hair. They got his whole body. He fell in love with one of their women and ended up in hatred.
Thank you, Brother Atlee. How many times have we heard it before from Samson, and how many times will we hear it again? Whether it's Noah and the flood, 8 people out of a million, Philistines, who else? God said, "Show no mercy to this nation, to another nation. No mercy. Man, woman, child. No mercy at all." And I'm using what Brother Atlee talked about, Samson, to show the patience and goodness and mercy of God. Noah preached so many years, 120 years. And it wasn't for the righteousness of the Jews that they were getting the promised land, Canaan. It was because of the wickedness of these people. And rather than for God just to snuff them out, get it over with, he gave them people time to repent. They had time to repent, but they didn't. It's because when you read about the Philistines, they're just worthless, worthless people. You know, like in David's time. You know, go get 100 foreskins from the Philistines, bring them over. 100, like, they're just worthless, sinful. And yet, in this example, the Philistines, again, people could say, what a cruel God this is, allowing these Philistines to get slaughtered. But he was patient, merciful. He's a jealous God. And I think the backdrop to this is like, and you read this, you say, boy, we, you know, only 2 out of 600,000 made the promised land. Darren, you and I, we're not going to make it, brother. You know, it's the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God and the patience that we could see that. And Samson, I mean, like you said, he made Hebrews 11. And, you know, he's an example for us. And it wasn't their righteousness, the Jews, because they were wicked. But not as bad as God made a covenant with them, so he had to keep his word. But the Canaanites were so bad. and reprobate, or just about reprobate. And I mean, I'm just, you brothers could correct me in that, but that seems to be, these Philistines they're like the modern evangelicals today to think they're going to heaven, but they're so wicked. They're the church at Laodicea. They're rich. They're rich. We have need of nothing and all this, but they're blind and wretched, and they don't have a clue into what it is to be a true Christian. And that's something, and we don't want to boast. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But it is a good analysis. Jesus told the seven churches of Asia, repent. Each one of you, repent. And we have to do that too. And let's work out our salvation with fear and trembling and with love and mercy and forgiveness to others. The Lord be magnified.
When there's love. Straight. Yeah.